Today is Sunday morning, July 21st, 2013-14. I'm in the Gullus of Teaneck, where unfortunately they think they're in Yerushalayim of New Jersey. But one has to be honest. The lecture I'm going to deal with today is a very powerful lecture. I'm dealing with many problems. Whether I'm right or wrong, we'll see in 65 years. The state of Israel is 65 years old, and my lecture will be verified, for better or for worse, 65 years from now. I want to begin with a true story that happened to me a few weeks ago on Sunday. I was privileged to have another great-grandson, another great-grandchild, a great-grandson, and my grandson calls me and says, Saba, this is my second son, I'm now in charge, we want you to be the son that gets the bris. So I say, fine. Then he pauses and says, if you don't mind, Saba, I'd like you to go to mikveh before the bris. I should have told him, my dear grandson, I'm a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik was son that got more than 30,000 britot. He never went to mikveh once. As a matter of fact, he didn't even go to mikveh Erev Yom Kippur, if you know brisk and you knew the Rav. But a grandson asked that the grandfather should go to mikveh. So I make up with him. He lives in Givat Mordechai. My life is in New Jersey, which is in Givat Mordechai. I'll go to the mikveh and give it Mordechai my way to bris, and 10 o'clock I'll be at the shul for the bris. Daven at 5:30, everyone gives me a mazel tov at the minyan, a sandek, no tachnun that night. I had announced in advance anyone coming to the 5:30 minyan will miss tachnun. You can't believe how big the minyan was. To save 1 minute of tachnun, 52 people showed up who wouldn't ordinarily come to the 5:30, the first of five minyan in my shul. Go to the mikveh, so you see, in a shemayim, when a lichva gate in mikveh, they decide upstairs to give them a good punishment. Come to the mikveh, I see, they're not charging, generally you have to put, I think, 5 shekel in, or whatever, and the gate, there's no gate, everything is open, 5 yungalite are sitting there, ready to go to mikveh. I go into the mikveh, hazmin is good gevarin, I froze. I then found out the mikveh was broken and they had no hot water. That's why they didn't charge. I get to bris, the first thing I look for is a fleshel schnapps. So, come to the brit. I look at my grandson, he says, I'm sorry, Sabai, and he tells me, I went to the mikveh at 7 o'clock and I say, we both compare notes, we both froze. I didn't know the mikveh was broken. You know what we should have done, he tells me? We should have gone to the mikveh in Machon Lev. I say to my grandson, Machon Lev, Beit Sefer Gevulda Technologia has a mikveh? He says, yes. Get to bris the next day. I call in my Talmud, Eli Wagner, whom your rabbi is related to. I call in Eli and I say to Eli, Eli, you daven in Machon Lev occasionally. There's a mikveh there? He says, yes. I say, I'm going to talk about that mikveh in Teaneck, but I never talk about something that I haven't seen with my own eyes. Tomorrow morning, you're meeting me at 8:55 at my office. 9 o'clock, we're at the mikveh. He takes me, we walk through Machon Lev. What a campus today. Tens of thousands of students come to the dormitory building. We turn left. Beautiful mikveh, modern, right next to the entrance. Again, 6-7 people, Siddisha Yungalite, using the mikveh. Wow, Machon Lev has a mikveh. And like a good Jew, I begin my talk with Adon Olam, and I'll come back to the mikveh 5 hours from now when I finish the talk. Remember what the Rav used to say? Mevilt a langa drasha, a kurtza drasha. A kurtza drasha is fimsha, a langa drasha is agansaya. My dear friends, in 1762, when I walked the streets of Berlin, Moshe Mendelssohn faced a very difficult decision. He was offered the chance to leave the ghetto. Do you leave the ghetto, or don't you leave the ghetto? Until 1762, Jews in Franco Germany could not leave the ghetto. They were put in the ghetto. They lived in the ghetto. When you live in a ghetto, You think the same, dress the same, act the same. There was very little assimilation, if any. I don't say every Jew was a tzaddik. We read yesterday, lo tetzach, lo tinaf, lo tanabarechai tsheka. They were murderers, they were rapists in the ghetto, but they were few and far between. At least they didn't change Judaism and didn't intermarry. And Reb Moshe Mendelssohn, the great-grandson of Reb Moshe Rissalis, for whom he's named, the Rama, Mipivanu Chaim, Mimavanu Shotim, chose to leave the ghetto. And from 1762 until this very moment in 2014, we struggle with how to live as Jews outside of the ghetto. Two tremendous points of view have developed. The Mendelssohn point of view, which later gives birth to Rav Shimshon Fol Hirsch, which perhaps gives birth to Yeshiva University, which perhaps gives birth to Machon Lev, and a popular language, Torim Derech Eretz, Torim Mada, Torim Avoda, call it what you wish. A view that says, as Raketet spoke on Shabbat, for better or for worse, what was it in my second talk out of the four I gave on Shabbat? How many times did I hear that from Mori Rebbe? And we live a dual existence. On one hand, we're part of the world, we're human beings. If someone pinches us, it hurts. If someone scratches us, they get blood. If one of us invents a cure for cancer, any intelligent human being, Jew or Gentile, black or white, will rejoice that there is a cure for cancer. On the other hand, we're Jews. And we're different. We're Gedim, our Shabbat is different, our Kashrut is different, our Tarek Mishpachar is different. And that was one approach. Another approach, if I can paraphrase it in the words of the Chatam Sofer, Reb Moshe Seifert, I already have a great-granddaughter, a direct descendant of the Chatam Sofer. If I can paraphrase it in his words, he took the last words in the last Mishnah in Masechet Allah, took it literally, Chadash asur min haTorah. Anything new is forbidden. And it's better we should remain as much as we can in the ghetto. And when you see the Hasidic world, it is a fabulous concept. We have beards, we have payas, we dress in black, we wear a long bekesha. We are different than the rest of the world, even if we have to intermingle occasionally, but we build a ghetto around ourselves. And that's the second point of view. These point of views have rivaled with each other since 1762 until today, and will continue to rival with each other ad biat Mashiach. I hope not the ad bad baklal, but ad biat Mashiach, period. Which point of view is better? Both point of views have had tremendous success. With the success, unbelievable failures. And no one can prove which point of view is better. It's a matter of personal choice. We're all created differently. No two people here have the same physical makeup, intellectual makeup, psychological makeup, emotional makeup. Those of you who are Talmidim of Mori Rebbe all understand Selem Elohim, the rub with stress time again, is the uniqueness of every single individual, and that's what I spoke about in my first talk yesterday. Ubacha Bacha Hashem. We are Am Yisrael, there's a framework that's the same for every Jew, but the picture we paint is individualistic. And everyone has to find his own home on the Torah spectrum. We have succeeded. Both those of us who live with Torah Derech Eretz and those of us who espouse Chadash Asur Min HaTorah. Failures, unfortunately, unbelievable. I need to go further than a bestseller right here in the United States, Unorthodox. If you haven't read it, make it your business to read it. A Satmar Hasidah, and what she writes, sitting in her car reading a novel while her husband believes she's going to mikveh. And an affront to any Jew who thinks like I do, she today claims she's modern Orthodox after meeting her mother in a trade restaurant. There's another book coming out next year by a Harvard graduate, a former Hasidah. She was interviewed on Channel 4, was shown on Israeli television. When you hear these interviews, you have to go into your closed room, sealed room, in your birthday suit, because if you're wearing clothes, you have to rip Kriya. And to quote the Panovich Rav, when they asked him to run for the Knesset by Gudit Yisrael, Rav Kahneman said, "I'm not rich enough to be a Chaver Knesset." So they said, "What do you mean you're not rich enough? If I'm a Chaver Knesset, every day in the Knesset, when I hear the speeches, I have to rip Kriya. Chav nisht hazeh fu gelt, keif inayah klei de yedet tug." Same thing, I can't listen to this. I got to go into a sealed room in my birthday suit because I just can't afford to rip Kriya every day. So you have failures on the right wing. I can elaborate more. In our world, have you read the late Rabbi Doctor? Let me not call him Rabbi. A great influence in my life. I write about him in Washington. What became of David Hartman? Lubavitch Yeshiva, to Chaim Berlin, to Lakewood, to YU. You read his latest book? Yes or no? Believe me, you can't have clothes on when you read that book. You see what he writes about our Rebbe? You don't know how I fought with him. He called me, asked me for sources. I gave him the source. Anyone asked me for sources, I give what I know. Then I said, "Dudi, what are you doing with this?" And he told me in advance what he's going to be writing, maledicting the Rav. Personal happiness. There's no concept of surrender. There's no concept of Naseh v'Nishma. How does the book begin? Who can tell me? He's rabbi in Montreal, and a member of his congregation comes and says, "Rebbe, I'm getting married. I'm a Kohen. I'm marrying a convert. Will you perform the wedding?" "Absolutely. With pleasure. Read the book. An aguna, can't get a get. Pafkot, retroactively annulled the marriage. Get rid of the man. Get rid of all the mesechtot. Mesechtot kedushin, mesechtot gittin, mesechtot yuvamot. Dakera dake noam." What, you never heard of that concept? The ways of the Torah have to be beautiful. No human hardship. That's Yiddishkeit. That's Judaism. That's a Talmud of the Rav. That's a Talmud of Lakewood, of Rav Aaron Kotler. That's David Hartman. Irwin Greenberg. You know who that is? BTA graduate, first graduating class. Then he goes on to Nevada Yeshiva, gets smicha, Borough Park. Let Borough Park share part of the blame. You know his theory? Espoused at the University of Colorado, 1980, the first time, then later published. The Holocaust abolished the covenant between the Jew and God. At least he admits there was a covenant. But the Naseh v'Nishma is now gone. If God could do such horrible things to us, which He did, we don't have to observe Torah. We have freedom of choice. You want to be reformed? This is pluralistic. You want to be conservative? You want to do God a favor? And you'll be a so-called Orthodox Jew. Quote, end quote. It's published. Rakefet is not making it up. So please, don't boast to me that any viewpoint is better than the other. We've lived and we've struggled with two different viewpoints, and this struggle continues until this very moment. The state of Israel today, we've achieved an unbelievable miracle. You can't start to appreciate where we're at. First of all, living in Admat HaKodesh for 44 years plus now, I can tell you when Yom HaShmut comes, I say Hallel with such kavana you can't imagine. For one simple reason, when you live there 44 years in the heart of Rechavia and you're in the position I am in teaching Torah to the finest youth and in touch with the entire Torah world, And you see the leaders we have, and was Gaitan, and that we can survive our politicians, our rabbis, our chief rabbinate, the election, what's going on with the whips on the wall. If you know what's going on in Israel today, a candidate for the chief rabbinate has been accused of whipping his former wife before their nasty divorce. Gatzal Akhidn La Anhiganu, and the country thrives. Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'hiyanu lazman chazeh maisa Hashem, fabulous micha mocha be'elim Hashem. Wow. Believe me, halel shalem b'leiv v'nefesh. Yom Atzmut is Yom Yerushal. No, Yom Atzmut. I go to shul. I have many shuls near me. It's like you have many minyanim. We have endless minyanim in every shul, and many shuls, a minute here, a minute there. So I have many shuls I daven in. But Yom Atzmut night, I daven where my eldest son-in-law is the president, the gabbai, the dishwasher, and my children run the shul. The gabbayim, the balkorim, the chazanim. And my grandchildren ask me, Saba, say a few words between mincha and maariv. Well, you know, I'm not anxious to speak. I'm not a rabbi who needs a platform. Baruch Hashem, your rabbi will testify every Sunday and Monday. I have the brightest young people and old people sitting before me, and I can let off steam. But if your grandchildren ask you to speak, it's like going to mikveh. You have to say yes. So ani na'amti b'fnei ha'kal ha'nichbad. Among them, this is a very unique minyan. It's a weekend shul, Chazon Yecheskel. It's a half block from the Shtidlach, etc., around the corner from Harel. And all the professors are there, and the Supreme Court judges are there, and all the big doctors from Shari Tzedek. They all daven in this shul. And I get up and I said, and I don't know why no one called it to their attention. I said, I'm saying it in English, obviously there I spoke in Hebrew. Modai v'rabotai, Ashreinu shezachinu l'yom atzmut hazem, shamatam chadashat hayom. I'm saying it in Hebrew, sorry. I can't say it in English. Hamedinah hichrizah, the state announced today that we have more than 6 million halachic Jews living in Israel. Halachic Jews. We're not talking America. Here there's a 5 million Jews. If you have 3 million halachic Jews, I'll dance a kazatska in Red Square, Berlin Ecke. You've seen pictures? I once saw the Reform choir singing at a Reform convention, 96 people sing of Mishkizen, Ein Yiddish upon him. It was on Israeli TV. They scanned the singers, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Protestants, Catholics, white, black, Puerto Rican, Scandinavian, Caribbean. I hope I'm politically correct. I don't want to get into trouble now. You have maybe 3 million, 2.5. 6 million halachic Jews. What eis in eskadol, 6 million. What a number. How many survivors are listening to me sitting there? How many of you are second generation? How many of you are third generation? If only those 6 million could know what we have achieved. Halavai, they're looking down at us and rejoicing. I'm not a survivor. My parents, my family, if you read Washington, my family came here 115 years ago. But I grew up with them. I am a survivor. All my rebbeim were survivors. All my classmates, I was the only kid in class. When I would tell them my father played baseball with me and Nachavis, my father played sandlot baseball with Hank Greenberg. Clyde, do you know who Hank Greenberg was? How do you know? Don't play games with me. From my book, thank God. Baruch Hashem, the book served the purpose. In South Africa, you heard of Hank Greenberg. You heard of Nelson Mandela, not of Hank Greenberg. Let me share with you what's happened. Not only do we have 6 million Jews, and it may be, and Rabbi Meiselman spoke in New York, it's beyond words how he interpreted the current situation. hard to believe that someone who knows Shas and Paiskim can think this way. Ben Gurion may have believed. Then it's a machlokes haPaiskim. When Ben Gurion died, or when it was 100 years since he was born, tremendous TV programs, Ben Gurion, I yet saw him up close. So why did Ben Gurion give in that there should be Chuppah v'Kedushin al pi halacha, that the army should be kosher? Why did he give in? Paula hated religion with a passion, but BG, so there's one theory, he didn't hate religion, et noch gewenkt noch im Tata, noch im Mamet, get at Yiddish, he used to speak Yiddish with Rav Yehoah, with Rav Maimon, Rav Fishman Maimon, Yehuda like Fishman Maimon, who was the first minister of religion, the great Mizrahi leader, he and BG, I'm not get at Yiddish. Alright. There's another theory, and it could be correct, that BG felt within 20 years there wouldn't be a full Jew left. Zionism. What an ideal. Conquering the world. They're all going to be secular Zionists. Give in to them 10 more years, 20 years. Gone, forgotten. Two tremendous movements developed in Israel. The Chatam Sofer people, Agudat Yisrael, disappeared into the ghetto. Hitzalti et nafshi v'shalom al Yisrael. Tremendous success with their children. I once spoke in public and I said the graduating classes of Eitz Chaim, the big cheder in Yerushalayim, the early 50s, if you had a class of 125, 10% remained from. A Jew got up with a long flowing beard who made a fortune in South Florida, a Yoreid, and he said, Ani rotze letaken et harav, from the audience, he wants to correct me. Harav Rav Ketev Damai es asarachus, hamishacha asarachus. Ani rotze lahayid edit nemana, ani siyamti et Eitz Chaim, and he gave the year. Ani hayichidi mimeya esrim v'chamisha talmidim shenishar Yehudi shomer Shabbat. One out of 125. And then he listed off his classmates as a who's who of major generals in the Israeli army. Today, the so-called Haredi world, and I use the term descriptively, not pejoratively, 85% of their children remain from. The ghetto theory worked. But not only the ghetto theory. The little Mizrahi world changed the face of the general Israeli scene. The kippah shrugah I am wearing, as I said yesterday, is the shtreimel of our generation. What did the shtreimel achieve in Poland? The Jews were practically gone after the Chmielnytsky massacres, after the disappointment of Shabtai Tzvi. And along came the Baal Shem Tov and gave them back sukkah, hope, emunah, religion. Alright, not Litvish, Chassidish. He saved them. The Shtreimel saved greater Polish Jewry. The Kippah Shrugah went out, what they established, Yeshivat Tichoniyot. Here's the Yeshivat. Ulpanot. Michlalot for women. Advanced institutions. Bar Ilan. Mechon Lev. There isn't an institution in the world that has not been affected by the great advance of those living with Torah Derech Eretz, or Torah Va'avoda, or Torah Mada, call it what you wish, going back to the great Hirshian movement. I have two grandchildren in Bezalel. Do you know that in Bezalel, these kids learn from 9 to 10, there's a koilel, they get paid, it's endowed. They learn, they daven first, they eat breakfast, They learn from 9 to 10 in Muda Kodesh, and then they go to classes in Betzalel. And my elder grandson is already third year, tells me he davens mincha every day with one of the biggest professors there, Kurzweil. He's world famous in his field, Ayeka, by way of America to Israel, and he davens mincha with them every day. They're good friends. Betzalel. Need I say more? I alluded already to Machon Lev with a mikveh. A Hasidish Yunga light for saying Zich Teufel. I don't want to go into Valacha now. I've given Shayurim on this. That kind of desra. I just hint to the Talmidei Chachamim here. You don't know the success. The children, 80%, 85%. And there's, by the way, there's a difference. The Dat Lashim, Dat Tayim Lishava, and the Charedim who leave, there's one big difference. Charedim leave with hatred, with anger, with passion. They write books afterwards. They wanted to study English and they got their face smacked in Borough Park. The Dat Tayim who leave, they want to enjoy the world. It's easier, wine, women, song. A few years of enjoyment, many come back. The enjoyment was no enjoyment. The world is not a world. Obama is not a president we can look up to, and all that goes with it. It's interesting. Surveys have been done that bear this out. I have wealthy friends, my grandchildren. How can you be friends with such wealthy people? I say, they have, but I don't have. I quote Yerushalmi and Nasa. I have Betzel HaChachma, if you know the Gemara, Betzel HaKesef. I have a little Chachma, they want that. I want their Kesef. So it's a balance. We're good friends. I have what they don't have, they have what I have. So a wealthy friend took me to the Delano Hotel. He said, Aaron, you're going to see something. We're going to Davin, 7 o'clock in the morning. There were Jews, it's all Jews. Up all night, what a hotel. It makes the King David look like a stable, okay? And wow, Ein Ani Yud B'Mokam Ashirut, quoting the Gemara in Menachem. And we should have seen, and there are five guys at the bar, former Satma Hasidim. Don't ask what they look like. These are Goholivit Akan Sanach. And we tell them, we're going to Minyan now. Oh yeah, Minyan, I never missed a Minyan. Yeah, and they're recalling. Not one of them got up to go to Minyan with us. Not one. Dead drunk a whole night. Cool of it. Don't want to go further. Let it stand on that description. But you see, there's another factor too. Not only the birth rate in Israel, but the Aliyah. America's America. Not easy to live. Not easy to leave. Eretz Ashur. Ubahol dimbi Eretz Ashur. Ashur, Lashon, Osheva, Osha, with an aleph and an ayin. But those who are big enough, great enough, intelligent enough, strong enough, we're getting a fabulous aliyah from the United States. Yeshiva tuition is the greatest gift to the state of Israel. All of Beit Shemesh, which changed the face of Israeli society now, is the result of yeshiva tuition. And they're very happy. So, the quote, myself, yours truly, we get the Tumut Maishra from the United States. But you know, at this Aliyah, 80% is religious, 85%, 90%. Nefesh B'Nefesh has been accused by sub-level idiots that they're pro-from. Pro-from? How many people from Temple Emanuel are going to come in Aliyah because of yeshiva tuition? No? Give me an answer. But not only that, the Ribbono Shel Olam is taking a venge on Europe. What they did to us during World War II, maybe Spain, we shouldn't be angry, they saved Jews. France, Britain, Russia, we shouldn't be angry. Russia saved Jews. I heard this from the greatest Talmidei Chachamim. They wound up in Siberia. If they could survive Siberia, they survived. No one tortured them for being Jews in Siberia. But the main countries, No, what happened in France? They just had riots because a woman was arrested for covering her face in public. I predict that within 10 years they can be beheading people coming out of the mosque on Friday afternoon like they do in Saudi Arabia. In my neighborhood today, if you don't speak French, you can't walk the streets. I can't talk to anyone in English, Hebrew, Yiddish. Only French. I have my youngest daughter majored in, it was a minor in French at Hebrew University. She speaks, I once asked her, where were you born in French? She met someone on the street and she gave the lady directions. Every day there's a note in my box. Are you willing to sell your apartment? Cash on the line from a French family seeking to live in your building. We already have a building that was all Anglo-Saxon. We already have prominent French people in our building. They're pouring in, and pouring in, unfortunately, with heavy money. The prices in Jerusalem, you can take your home in Peanut, you sell it off, and you buy one-tenth for that money, you get 1.5 rooms in Jerusalem, thanks to the French. The English? I just spoke in the Tanya. I don't speak out of the Kollel. I'm principled because I'm older and I don't have to build a reputation. Let my Talmidim speak all over. Jalavad the Rebbe's Kaiches, have mercy. But I owed in the Tanya. It goes back to my book, the Hirsch family, what they were, my Nefesh, the Mossad was angry at them, but I understood what they were doing. So I spoke in their honor. I go to Netanya, they pick me up, limo, bring me, take me. All right, I give a gezunta talk. It's on the YU website. I think it was Yom Yerushalayim. And I couldn't believe it. There are two shuls in Netanya, a block from each other. Or where am I? Netanya? Yeah, Netanya. Not Herzliya, not Ranana. A block from each other. When I was there in the past, you only heard English. Today, a big list, Shayurim in English, Shayurim in French. Not one shir in Hebrew. The rabbi is South African. You may know him. What is that? And this has affected the population. And a survey came out, published in Haaretz, which is financed by the New Israel Fund. I don't have to elaborate. Shokin said he's willing to lose $10 million a year to fight anything that smells of Torah or Zionism, quote, end quote. That in 30 years, the majority of the country will be Haredim and Datiyim. And the country went crazy. And here we come to the key. You can have a choice in America, Torum Derech Eretz, Chadash Asum in HaTorah, leave Tanik for Williamsburg, leave Williamsburg for Teaneck. You can have a choice. The United States will survive. Whether you like the president, don't like the president, don't like the composition of the cabinet, but America will survive. All right, you're going to have Detroit and Detroit, but I don't think the whole world in America will go like Detroit, bankrupt. Israel has a totally different situation. It's our country, it's our land, it's our future. If we're the majority, we have to know how to run an army, and we have to know how to run an economy. The country was traumatized by one moronic act in Beit Shemesh. A week before that, a female soldier got on a bus in Jerusalem, and a Jew with a long beard and a female soldier wearing pants, but you have to admit, she was modestly dressed. I want to interrupt for 1 second. My student here, Miriam Rabinowitz, the name is Lou Hellman. Is Miriam Rabinowitz here? Or did she leave? Does anyone know who Miriam Rabinowitz is? Is her brother here? No, struck out. Rabbi put out an emergency call for Miriam Rabinowitz visiting here from, I believe, Washington, if I'm the, what did she tell me where she lives? Florida, North Miami Beach. tell her the name I was trying to find before the president of her father's shul, who was killed in the rabbinate, Lou Hellman. Professor Lou Hellman. Close the parentheses. Back to the lecture. If we're going to run a country, we have to know how to run it. This chayalit got on the bus, and this Jew with a beard, the Litvisher, I don't want to mention this, we're in a shul, use the Hebrew word. Not exactly a moment of credit for the lady. That's what he called her in public. Well, you call a lady a bad name, a lady calls a man a bad name, Maisim B'chalyam. 1 week later in Beit Shemesh, a little girl was walking to school, 9 years old, 8 years old, Mamlachti Dati school, and morons threw rocks at her. That girl was from an American family. Perhaps they came in Aliyah because of the tuition. The Margolis family. Americans do not take things lying down. I didn't when I came in Aliyah. I still don't. We're Americans. We bring a certain American mentality. The Gemara at the end of Megillah. How many times have I dashed in that Gemara? What does that mean? You're going to take apart this shul and replant it in Israel. You'll wind up with the ceiling on the floor on the ceiling. You're going to have Arab workers put this shul together again. Means the ideas we develop. That's what we're going to take. The Margolis family spoke out. That incident changed the face and the future of Israel. It gave us the new Knesset. It created Dov Lipman. It created Yair Lapid. It created everything that's happening in Israel today. One stupid act of Kana'ut brought down the concept of Hadash Asum in HaTorah. And it cannot work. If you're the majority, what are you going to give the land back to the Arabs? What, are you going to raise another 1 million youngsters who are Umgliks, who are going to come to Teaneck and Lawrence and Los Angeles and Melbourne and Golders Green and Hendon and Toronto and Montreal and even all these places on Sunday, and there knocks on your door, and it's a disgrace for me as a citizen of the state of Israel that they're begging for money because they're having a chasen at Samach. Umgliks. No math. No computers. You spend $100,000 here to hold a rally against computers? I'm holding a rally next week in Tel Aviv in front of City Hall against cars. Since cars were invented, more than 30 million people have been killed. Are you Rotschim or you're not Rotschim? Murderers? If you're not a murderer, you have to attend my rally. You're rallying against computers? We're going to reach a day where guys like Rakefet are going to be locked up because they walk the streets without a telephone, without a computer, without this. My grandchildren, they're the one little thing. The message is in New York now. Idiot, you're here in Jerusalem. No, the message just went to them. It's normal. It's natural. Oh my gosh. These are real problems. And willy-nilly, willy-nilly, we're not going to win them all. Until Yemot HaMashiach, Mori Rebbe always used to say, the prophet says, V'chol b'nayach limudei Hashem. Mori Rebbe used to say, until Yemot HaMashiach, halavai, rov b'nayach limudei Hashem. We're not going to win them all. I've been criticized. I have friends who call me the most moderate person alive because I don't want to build jails for 70,000 yeshiva boys and throw them in. They don't want to serve in the army. Into jail. Kid from North Tel Aviv, you saw the New York Times yesterday. He went to jail. Yeah, you're going to build jails for 70,000 people. We'll really have to come to Teaneck and beg for money to support Glatt Kosher food for 70,000 people in 70,000 different cells. God have mercy. then I get from the other side. I wrote a letter to the committee. I haven't given up letter writing. I wrote a letter to the committee. I showed the Kollel. I am opposed to any exemptions whatsoever. First of all, halakhically, there is no exemption whatsoever from a Mechabit Mitzvah. Learn the Sugya and Saita, see the Ramban, Hilchot Malachim. To my way of thinking, there is no exemption for any young person growing up in Teaneck. When you reach the age of 18, you have to report to the Israeli army. Muhammad Mitzvah, I don't see any exemption. There's no exemption if you built a house, if you're getting married, if you planted a vineyard. It's a Muhammad Mitzvah. There's no exemption. It does not say in the halacha that from Teaneck and Englewood you're exempt from serving in the IDF when it's a Muhammad Mitzvah. How can a Jew live with himself after the Holocaust that you don't know how to shoot, you don't know how to throw a grenade, you don't know what a missile is, you don't know what an airplane is? Kanein hara. Have a miracle, we have an army. But I'm opposed to exemptions for a different reason. You're going to take 1,800 people and give them an exemption. What's going to go on in the yeshivas? Guts a lot, people. The Lashon Hara, the Rechilat, the Shvichat Damim. Who should get the exemption? Number two, how do you give exemptions? They're going to be the future Rosh Yeshiva, the future Gedolei Israel, the future Dayanim. We're talking about the brightest. You have to know the people. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to Moshe when he was up in the mountain and separated himself from the Jewish people? Lech Reid Ki Shichetamcha. When you're on the mountain separate from the community, Shichetamcha, your people sin. You're going to be a Dayan? How can you paskin if you didn't serve in the army? You don't know what Israel is all about. You don't know what the Kibbutz Galir is all about. You don't know what human relations are all about. You've been in an ivory town. You know how many people saved in the army and did Hezda and wrote Svarim and on Gedolei Yisrael Tveg and Gedolei Rosh Yeshiva? What's the contradiction? If he can't serve in the army and be a Gadol B'Torah, he's never cut out to be a Gadol B'Torah in the first place. So people are mad at me. I got a beautiful letter back which said, "Dear Rabbi Rakefa, go fly a kite on a cloudy day. We have your suggestion. They'll pay as much attention to it as I paid to Mao Zedong and his wonderful red book of advice." Now what? You haven't studied the red book? Lincoln Communist? Let me go a drop further. I'm watching the clock. I know it's Sunday morning and I know I've been speaking already for 50 minutes. Let me go a drop further. If you want to feel the shifting waves, I'll share with you another personal story. You all know the Israeli army, you have to inculcate pride, purpose. So whenever the soldiers finish a certain amount of training, you have a fallout ceremony. Some of you have been at fallout ceremonies, your children, your grandchildren. It's a very moving moment. So I just had, as you know, many, many grandchildren who have served or are in the army as we speak, and more coming up the ladder. And I ain't hurt. So I have one grandchild in a very unique unit. Very select unit, had to leave Hezda. Going to this unit, he has to serve 4.5 years. And he finished the final level of training, third level. And right before we left Israel, we had the ceremony at Latrun, the tank corps. But he's not in the tank corps, he's in one of the Sayarot of Golani. And the ceremony was held there. I always come with sunglasses, winter or summer. I write about it in Washington because I can, all my grandchildren look at me and laugh at me. You know, they grew up, to them it's normal. I cannot get through the Hatikvah without a flood of tears. If it's a Nachal Haredi ceremony, when the Yerin Ani Mamin after the Hatikvah, I had 4 children in Nachal Haredi, 4 grandchildren, B'nei Banim Harein Kabanim, I'm a flood of tears. This last event was unbelievable. Hundreds of top soldiers in elite units, third level of training. So many kippot. So many tzitzit waving in the wind. the Amcha Yisrael, Sfadim, Ashkenazim, Americans, French, Spanish speakers, Italian speakers, the Hebrew grandparents were in the minority. Religious, irreligious, Haredim, Rashi Yeshiva, Rabbanim, world famous professors. Would you care to guess who was the highest ranking officer at this event and gave the main address? And I wish I could have recorded him to you to hear the level on which he spoke. Aluf Mishneh Menachem Kahana. Would anyone tell me who Menachem Kahana is? Who's his father? Harab Nachman Kahana. Who's his late uncle? My Madrich in Bnei Akiva. You know, if you read the book, give me his name. Baruch Hashem, Rav Meir Kahana. He's on his way to Brigadier General, who'll soon be up Tataluf. It's a new army. And I'll tell you even better, I was flabbergasted after the ceremony is over, so broke up, and there were endless minyanim for mincha, and if you know, latrun, back on the grass. So my family, we have a lot of, I have very many great, many male grandchildren. I had only daughters, but God has a sense of humor. I have almost only male grandchildren. And even on the next generation already, the males are a majority. So we make our own minyan. We had a nice minyan. And we're davening mincha, and in the middle of Chazor HaShetzatz, I see Aluf Mishneh Menachem Kahana walking by, surrounded by a cadre of officers. I take a look at the officers around him. He's a high-ranking officer. Every last one with a kippah. So I told my son-in-law, who grew up in this community, actually, Samuel, Steve Samuel, the son of Beatrice and Jerry. I told Steve, take a look. Either every officer in the army has to wear a kippah today, or Menachem Kahana only allows officers with kippah to surround him. You know, we looked at them as they're walking by. It was an unbelievable sight. But this is the new army. And this is the new world. And this is the reality. And on both sides of the fence, part of the population is frightened stiff. The kippah are taking over. The other part, the more intelligent part, this is Amcha Yisrael today. They have to take over. It's their country. It's a democracy. These are the numbers. In the Haredi world, there are many youngsters who today want to say the prayer for the state. The state has been good to us. Zionism is reality. What are we fighting about? Let's have a big debate whether Mendelssohn should or should not have left the ghetto. We have to be idiots to debate that. He left the ghetto. We're not going to go back to the ghetto. We can't go back to the ghetto. The whole world is a global village today. Even in Meir Shearim, it's no longer a ghetto. It's impossible. What? In Borough Park is the ghetto? I walk the streets of Borough Park. On every, my wife couldn't believe it. On every street corner, Hasidic Yidno coming over me, kissing my hair. Look at them. Rebbe, we listen to your shayurim. They think, who knows, I don't want to repeat what they think about that one. Bra. Who the heck am I to give up? I'm a Kubo? What am I? I'm just a little Rebbe that was raised in NYU teaching B'tochechei Yerushalayim. But it's a global village today. YUTorah.org may have more Hasidim listening to it than YU people. Okay? In Lubavitch alone, there are thousands upon thousands of... I told you yesterday, I gave a 5-minute eulogy dedicating the Shia to Lubavitch Beswitsky. Every Chabadnik in the world picked up on Rakefet and Chris Kohl in Yerushalayim. So this is the world today. Even in their world, many want to come out, don't want to throw rocks, want to be able to make panasa, want to be able to make a living. This is the reality. I want to go one step further and then I'll grind down. You should know that this reality has given birth to new literature. What I'm holding here is a halachic volume that's basically over 300 pages. I'm holding the title page and the index, or part of the index. halachic volume. Some of you don't even understand the title, although you know Hebrew. Batash. Bishabbat uvimoeg hanchayot hilchatiyot hufak avur tuchum ha-halakha harabanit ha-tzayit ha-rashid. You know what batash stands for? Bitachon shel teif. How do you keep an army functioning on Shabbos when you're at war? What can you do? What can't you do? How do you prepare? How do you get a tank ready before Shabbat? How do you get a plane ready? How do you get the missiles into position? How do you get the anti-aircraft? How do you get the computers? You have any idea what's going on? Moray v'rabotai, we've had three unbelievable miracles following the Sitra Acher. When the Satmar Rebbe talks about the Sitra Acher, the Satan, he's right. The Holocaust was the Satan. That was Hest upon him. That's exactly what the Satan is. Beyond that, we have three tremendous miracles. That Ben-Gurion had the nerve to establish the State of Israel against the State Department, against the President of the United States, and gave us the Declaration of Independence. Miracle number one. Miracle number two, the reawakening of Russian Jewry. Do you understand what that means? Millions of Jews have woke up, have awakened. Hundreds of thousands have become Balei Tshuva. We have to, in the future, we have to talk about what the Mossad did in Russia. Why should they be denied knowing the book that came? Forget about Rakefet, what I wrote, but a book from the Mossad already in Hebrew, I can talk. What a miracle. But the greatest miracle of all? Tell you a little story. B'didi Habayuvet, happened to my wife. My son-in-law, my wife had to be in Tel Aviv. My son-in-law gives her a lift in his army car. They're leaving Yerushalayim. They reach the Trampiata, where all the soldiers are hitchhiking. And my son-in-law stops the car, tells his driver stop, gets out, tells the soldiers where he's going if anyone has to go to the Matek Lali, the Pentagon in Tel Aviv. He pops out of the car, my wife is looking, all the soldiers salute. My wife couldn't believe it. This is our son-in-law Daniel. What's going on? They're saluting. My dear friends, that we should have an Israeli army of Jews, and that Jews should salute another Jew, is the greatest miracle since Matan Torah. How many times have you saluted your rabbi?
Not enough.
The rabbi wants the microphone to pick it up. Not enough. Your president, your treasurer, that one Jew can say another Jew has a higher rank than me. Unbelievable. You don't know what a miracle the Israeli army has achieved. And this is the country. And these are shifting gears. But you now have so many from boys in the army. You need endless halachic decisions. How do you oil a tank? How do you do when a tank comes back from battle and has to turn around? And a plane comes back from battle and has to turn around? And you should know in Machon Lev, headline news in every paper, two graduates of Machon Lev, one with a big kippah srugah and one with a black kippah and a beard, their graduation thesis project was a new computer program turning a plane around in battle. When it comes back, it used to take 40 minutes to send it up again. It now takes 18 minutes, and the Army fought. The Air Force is already using the Machon Lev project. Do you know what that means? Do you have any idea? Have you ever seen a battlefield? Do you know what's involved? Wow, you know how many books already have been written? Halacha l'maisa, ashrayayin ra'at hazot. An army that is kosher, that is Sabbath observing, Anami, where a religious boy can serve, lekavod ulitiferet. Anami, where you already have major generals. The Skanga Matkal Yair Naver looks like a gabai from a minion in Tinek. That's Major General Yair Naver. It's unbelievable. I was with him. I brought a Sefer Torah. My wife got a Sefer Torah for the Israeli army. We put it in, was brought to a base. He was there at Tansmitmir. I thought I was dancing with a guy from a shtibble. Major General, Aluf Pikud Hatzafon, then Aluf Pikud Adaron, then Aluf Pikud Amekaz, today Skan Ramatkal, it is beyond words. You should know that the Chief of Staff of the Army is a yeshiva boy. But something went wrong along the way. Our chinuch failed. He's a Talmud of Rav Chaim Drukman. Something failed, alright? But the love of Torah when he meets his Rebbe, how he embraces him, it's in reality. This is Israel today. So a lot of heartache? Absolutely. A lot of controversy? Absolutely. Change does not come easily. Ideas do not merge too quickly. The challenge is great. The Hegelian dialectics are upon us once again. We had a thesis before Mendelssohn. There was a tremendous antithesis. I was corrected. I always heard people when I was young saying antithesis. So I think the Rebbe used to say antithesis. Probably in German they said antithesis. So I always say antithesis and antithesis. But this morning a Talmud said to me antithesis is more correct. He looked it up. So I say antithesis. And it takes a long time to form a synthesis. We're challenged again in Israel. It's a new situation. The sands have shifted. Tomorrow is going to be different. Will we meet the challenge? Absolutely. Will there be heartache, lashon hara, rechilit, maledictions, my poor students suffering with all the words that we used this past year out of the Shas people, out of the Lakewood people, out of the Bnei Brak people? Absolutely. But we will thrive and survive in dignity. And I end off with some Divrei Torah. Moriah Rebbe taught me you never speak in public without a little Divrei Torah. All right? I revere my Rebbe's memory. My dear friends, you all celebrated Pesach this year. You all celebrated the Seder this year. Nope. The order of how you celebrated, totally, absolutely, completely wrong. As far as I know, you all washed, famished, all the Divrei Torah before. I always have one grandson. I tell him, one day you're going to come over and we're going to do a Seder according to the Rambam. I said, we will make Kiddush, and 21 minutes later you will be making Hamotzi and eating the meal. But never, Kiddush, I said, are you going to come over? He said, I can't come. I got Kibbutz Aviyam. I have to go to my parents. The truth is, we couldn't make the Seder. We were going to our other children. But I said, you're coming over this year? Can't do it. Kibbutz Aviyam. His father makes the Seder, begins at 9, ends at 4 in the morning. All right, but he has to go through. Kol Hamaber Hareza Meshubach. Milk, you washed, you made a motzi, then you ate mara. No? I want to ask you, I have students sitting here, tell me, which came first, mara or matzah? What do you say? My memory? First they suffered, the nuotam, the duotam, slaves, pitam, ramses, had to build. Then afterwards, they got out, matzah, lechemoni, but the bread of freedom. If you ask me as a historian, first the Mara, then the Matzah. It's not my question. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter asked this very question. And Rabbi Yisrael gave an answer that is fabulous. You see, this answer is in my silver book. I want to tell you, they're raising funds now to reprint a fourth edition of Silver. It's totally out of print. If anyone is interested in sponsoring a dedication, I'll tell you who to contact in DOU. I don't touch money on principle, but DOU is doing it for me. There's going to be a fourth edition this year of Revel and Silver Bears, Rat Hashem. So what's the Silver Book? What was Silver's greatest achievement? Some of you are sitting here because of Revelation. You know what it means to see your families wiped out by Hitler? I had a neighbor die this past year, her first husband and children killed by Hitler. His first wife and children killed by Hitler. And Reb Lazer, when he came to the DP camps in 46 with $100,000 sewn into his army uniform, if you're familiar with the Silver Era, he gave out the money, but only on one condition: you remarry and start a family again. You know how hard that is? A minority couldn't do it. Some of them are still in mental institutions until today. In Israel, we have thousands of survivors who are supported by German reparations and Israeli tax money. But the majority, as hard as it was, we have to start all over. And they started all over. And they remarried. And they had children and grandchildren. Some of you are sitting here, you may be a result of such. I taught many children, grandchildren, second, third, fourth generation from second marriages. If not for Reb Lazer and bad advice, and you see, ultimately, there's a very healthy defense mechanism in a person who is mentally stable. Psychologists will explain this to you. Reb Yisrael Salanter understood it. Somehow we forget the bad and we accentuate the positive. If we don't have that defense mechanism, it's very difficult to go further. And Chazal was so smart, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, when they introduced the Haggadah, they knew how difficult it would be if you're going to eat the Murrah first. They gave in to human foibles and disabilities. First eat the matzah. Rejoice. Be happy. You came out, you built the people, you built the nation, you received the Torah, you received Eretz Yisrael. Rejoice. And only then afterwards. Now we want you to pause and recall the bad. This is very intelligent. We have to be positive. We have to minimize the difficulty and maximize the achievement. And my dear friends, 65 years from now, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will come together again and we're going to be very happy people. 30 million Jews at least in the state of Israel. Halakhic Jews. I hope by then it'll be 25 million Shomrei Torah mitzvot. And only after we eat the matzah will we recall the difficulties of 65 years earlier. But if you have vision, there's a modern Israeli epigram, aphorism: Im Hasof Tov, Hakol Tov. And Be'ezrat Hashem, we should be zeichel lekabel p'nei Mashiach tzidkenu b'mechira b'yameinu, amen selah. I wanna thank you very much. I wanna thank the rabbi. I have to tell you that I recall fondly his great grandparents, and it's a schut to know his grandchildren. And I made a deal with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I should know your great grandchildren as well. I also wanna thank the Kaiser family. We lost track of them. And one year I was a scholar in residence. I was supposed to go to Florida. I was doing a friend a favor. It's not easy to live in Israel for Pesach, but he told me he needed me in a hotel. He had made an investment. And I come to Florida and they tell me, oh, something happened in Princeton. They invited Rabbi Shmuley Boteach and it seems people rejected. And they needed me as a fill-in. I don't know if anyone knew where I was from, a hole in the ground. So I wind up in Princeton, New Jersey. And there I mentioned my wife is a Ramaz graduate. So Harold Kaiser, Rabbi Kaiser comes, Dr. Kaiser, I gave a smicha just now. Dr. Kaiser comes over and he says, your wife is a Ramaz graduate, I'm also a Ramaz graduate. It turned out they were classmates. So when we come to Teaneck, it's not just a reunion with students and students and students and people I grew up with and people who know me as Ani, which makes, because my mother died, I said this is terrible for me because there's no one left in the world who calls me Ani. If my wife calls me Ani, she's angry at me. I know that right away. I did something wrong. So my Talmidim call me Rebbe, they're not going to call me Ani. And then my friends call me Aaron, Aaron, depending on which, if they know from the Akiv, it's Aaron. If they know me from the Rabbinit, it's Aaron. But it's not only great to be called Ani again by people who I know from the old days in Yankee Stadium watching Joe DiMaggio in center and Tommy Hendrick in right and Charlie Keller in left, but to be back here with the Przanski, you don't even know where his name is from. Do you know where Robert Przanski gets his name? Pruzhana. His elder Zayda was a sheikhet for the Elia Feinstein, for the Rub's grandfather. In other words, back 100+ years ago, the only one Rebbe Pruzhana trusted the sheikh for him was his great-grandfather. So that's the Przanski family. And to be back already and recollect about Ramaz and take a look at the good that came out there by Joseph H. Lookstein, everyone criticized him, was critical. And I can tell you, as a student of American Torah history, there were many great Rabbanim who have not one descendant left today who's even Jewish, let alone Shema Torah Mitzvah. I don't want to mention names. Kvot Hashem Hasteh Davar. And Rabbi Joseph H. Lookstein of Ramaz, of Kilat Jeshurun, every last one of his descendants is a Shema Torah and Mitzvah Betul today. So it's great to be united with them. Kaiser family, Ramaz, the recollections, and the Seed Baruch Hashem, the matzah that we are eating so joyfully together today. Thank you very, very much. Welcome to you.